to give this talk here. So I'd like to describe some work done together with Kuba Jankowski, who's a postdoc in Kraków, and Piotr Witkowski, who has finished his master's last year. So this paper appeared back in March. And I would like to, so here, kind of the Dirac delta sources are not as one usually uses in conventional GR in the bulk, but they are really sources for the gauge theory in ADS-CFT, which means that those Dirac deltas appear in the asymptotic in the boundary conditions of the fields which appear here. So I will, of course, describe it in much more detail, but generally this caused this kind of setup to be interesting and also quite difficult for us to handle. And so the main motivation was really a technical motivation, how to try to treat this type of situations in numerical general relativity, So the plan of my talk is as follows. First, I'll give some motivation why we started to look at these kind of configurations, which are quite weird. And then I will describe briefly the ADS-CFT setup, how one formulates the problem. Then I'll describe a bit the linearized solution, which is extremely trivial to get, but one can see what do I mean that this is a Dirac delta at the boundary in the asymptotics, which is a bit bizarre. Then I will move on to describe our work. First, I will describe a back-reacted solution at zero temperature, and then the generalization to non-zero temperature, to high. Then I'll give some entanglement entropy test and something about a periodic lattice. So this is basically the outline of the talk. This problem, in fact, took us a very long time. Historically, we started about here. Then we ran into trouble. Nothing could converge. Everything was just blowing up on our face. And only then when we went back to a zero temperature solution, we understood that there was some completely strange physics which we are missing. So therefore, I will go now and describe it in like a more logical way, but this problem cost us a lot of trouble. So it really took a long period of time to handle it. So what is the motivation? So the basic motivation was this applications of ADS-CFT to model some condensed matter phenomena. So there are various models like using gravity coupled to scalar fields and then the condensation of those scalar fields to model superconductors and superfluidity, various kinds of critical phase transition, critical phenomena in condensed matter. And one of the, so most of the early models were translationally invariant. And then it happens that if we have a translationally invariant model, the DC conductivity has to blow up. So people really tried to break this translational invariance to somehow get something more realistic, because like if we, there must be some kind of lattice structure. So the first paper was a paper by Horowitz, Tong, and Santos, who introduced a way to get something like a lattice, to break translational invariance. The way they did it, they introduced a sine source for some operator on the boundary. So this is the field theory, which one is looking at in question. It's some two-dimensional field, 2+1-dimensional field theory. And they added a source which has some wavelengths here, and then studied what is the dual gravity background corresponding to this situation. And then due to the breaking of translational invariance, they found like a Drude behavior of conductivity and all very lots of very nice features. So it's in 2+1 dimensions. Because here, again, the motivation is from studying those like high temperature superconductors, where most of the physics is like in layers, concentrated in layers. So the idea is that the strongly coupled field theory really describes this two-dimensional layer plus time. So that's why mostly it's like three-dimensional on the boundary and four-dimensional bulk setups here. Now our aim was to, so we thought that, well, this is like a sign. What is the most extreme natural picture of a lattice? It's just a localized source, which is like a delta function. What we wanted to do was to model instead of this smooth sign to put in a delta function instead of this sign. And therefore, let's say, from a lattice of these delta functions. So this was the motivation for this work. How to try to, and now how to look at the gravitational description dual to such a configuration.
Okay. Function is also just in one
Yes, so here it's really a line. Of course, the technical reason is that we will be dealing with 1 plus 1 dimensional bulk. But of course, ultimately, one would be interested really in point-like sources. So this also here, they also looked at the lattice, but they also looked at the waves.
Right. Can I just ask, do you mean something that's really truly a direct delta, or just
yes.
something that's the smaller thing you just approximated?
Direct delta.
Okay.
So I will explain exactly what I mean
okay.
in a couple of slides. How this condition will be implemented, this boundary condition for some scalar fields. Okay, so we wanted to keep exactly the same setup as they did. So this is just 2 plus 1 dimensional theory, source for scalar operator. Now the bulk size will correspond to 4 dimensional gravity with negative cosmological constant. And the scalar field with mass equal to -1, -2. So the system we are looking at is the following. So this is the minimal coupled scalar field with cosmological constant. So it gives ADS4 with the size equal to 1. Then this part gives m squared equal to -2, which is perfectly reasonable in ADS. And potentially we may have some self-interaction potentials. So Horvitz, Tong, and Santos did not include any potential here. And for initially, we also just looked at three scalar field, but coupled to gravity. Okay, now in ADS CFT, so the vacuum solution will be just ADS strong here. We will see a quantum touch because the field theory should be just space-time. And now if we take coordinates, which are like Pythagorean coordinates in our geometry, and we expand the scalar field close to equal to 0, close to the boundary, then we have two pieces. The leading piece for this expression will have behavior like z times some phi naught of x mu, and here we have z squared times phi 1 of x mu plus other terms. And now according to ADCT dictionary, this piece here is a source which is used for deforming the field theory action. So basically, if we have the field theory which is deformed by the operator with the following profile, then this imposes for us boundary conditions for the scalar field this way. And then once this is done, we can, for example, read off expectation value of the operator by reading off this phi 1 question. So therefore, now the problem is we want to put here the delta function. So we would like to numerically solve Einstein's equations with this type of behavior when z goes to zero. So this means that basically we have some kind of discontinuous distributional boundary conditions. Now this has already appeared in the literature for quite some time. There's a famous example, which is with set of the delta function, we have the Heaviside theta function. So this and massless scalar field, so-called Janus solution, and it's known as an actual solution in two dimensions. It's basically one dimensional ODE, which was considered by Bach to Victoria Chiano a long time ago.
Yes? Can you say that this source space tensor itself, the delta function, and the field gravity?
Yes. Yes. So, certainly one class of solution which is known for that. Is when it solves along a light cone. Then the solution is a shockwave, kind of shockwave, and then one can find it very easily like a light cone. Why it's not along the light cone, it's modified, but no one did. So we wanted to keep this, first of all, if you would make a sort of the metric, which means that we would modify the metric for the boundary theory. And we don't want to do that. Because we want to have the boundary theory be exactly Minkowski's metric. So therefore we don't want to be a little... So this would be a problem that we would deform the metric for the field theory, right? And we don't want to do that. We want somehow to really have just let me go to space-time, but at some point like sources. Therefore, we want to do something else. And then there's a choice. So one can either sort a scalar tree or a gauge tree to give you some chemical potential, which is concentrated and so on. So there are other choices. But we don't want to really modify the model. Eventually with corrupted stomp samples, so we want to just sort exactly the same kind of heat that they use with this sine wave to see what the difference is.
If you're going to talk about the data, so you mentioned the really good format, but presumably you're very skilled in the
It will not work. So in fact, it will be a problem for us. I will talk about it. Then also, what is an absolute namely, like a Janus, but to find a thing. Just want to mention one can find an analytic data, so we did some analytic data. In fact, this one example, which is a delta function, significantly, which was found by Cocker to define a thing, but clearly there's a lot of other people on these. In addition, so for the, not only for dimension, but those high number of coordinates. So, from the point of view of this, from this matter, we want to have some kind of minimum one. So therefore, it's too complicated and we want to be clear to study the situation. And also, since eventually we want to look at finite temperature, whether we know symmetry, we cannot really use this type of things. So this solution was only at zero temperature. And this was
why those people looked at this solution?
So?
What was the motivation of the people to look
at it? I think they were, this was mostly motivated from trying to find various supersymmetric solutions. And the comment that delta function appears with just kind of a footnote. So it was not the main object of friends.
Was that in a top-down model or just again in economical logic?
It's in top-down, but clearly uses some supersymmetric production. So got it. Okay. So now we have analysis. What does it mean to have models. So, what do we mean by that? So let's just solve the inverse model. So first, you just take instead of delta function, just equal IKX sums. So we have to find the solution of the wave equation with such behavior close to boundary. It's trivial, something very simple, to say that. And now to get the delta source, we just have to integrate it over K. So one will be point integral over decay of this solution. And this can be done. And this is the solution. So this is really nice. And now you can see why it appears as a delta function. So if we extract the z out of this formula, see the remaining part is z of x squared plus z squared, which is just a standard approximation of a delta function. When z goes to 0, right, this goes over to delta. So this way, this defines for us the standard conditions which we have. Now coming back to your question is that for this specific m squared equal to minus 2 scalar field, we see that this solution is scale invariant. Mm-hmm. We can escape it. And therefore, so it's very nice. Because now we see that if we want to talk with like numerical m or interactions, we see that the solution will close to the point x equal to 0, z equal to 0, we have lots of gradients. It will be very much. So there will be huge gradients here. Because depending on the angle at which we approach the boundary point, we could have completely different limits. But then if we go to coordinates which are like alpha and x equal to alpha, sin alpha, then you see that this pretty nice solution is a very nice perfectly smooth function, one of the pi cosine squared. So therefore, we see that we may try to study the graphic solution if we pass to some angular coordinates. So this is what we do now. So this was very nice, now we want to include vector action. So first of all, since the linear solution is scale invariant, we look also for the scale invariant vector action solution. So what we do, we adopt here some ATST slicing, which is almost identical to the one which is used for Janus solutions. So basically, we adopt this type of system of coordinates with a conformal factor here, 1 over A of alpha. Here we have this ATST, which is scale invariant. Phi is a function of alpha only. And now the only difference with respect to this Janus solution and what is that here we have some constant, p, which ensures that the ABS boundary is always at alpha equal to plus minus pi over 2, even if you have a non-trivial alpha. So this is important. Well, for analytical computations, it's not important, but if we want to do numerics, we want to have a grid of fixed size irrespective of what source we use. So therefore, it will be quite useful for numerics. Yeah. So the condition that we fix this P will be just that A should vanish at plus minus pi over 2, which defines for us the conformal boundary. And now first we look at the perturbative solution. So before doing numerics, we decide to understand here how how the perturbative solution looks like. So we expand all the fields in powers of some epsilon and start from the vacuum and build up the solution of the vacuum. So this is the expansion. The zero of the solution will be just empty ATS for spacetime, which means it is coordinated that A0 alpha is just cosine alpha. P0 is equal to 1, because then it's just 1. While F0 alpha is the linearized solution which we found earlier. This is cosine alpha. And now we can impose all kinds of boundary conditions for those fields. So first of all, we want to impose reflection symmetry around x equal to 0, because delta function is completely reflection. So therefore, we have Neumann boundary conditions at alpha equal to 0. Then we want to impose that the expansion parameter epsilon is physical, namely that epsilon is really the amplitude of the scalar field in the middle at zero. So this way we just fix the definition of epsilon when we do perturbation here. And then we set the boundary, ATS boundary to be at pi over 2. And basically this is it. It turns out that for any given choice of scalar potential, like for a massive scalar field, we get just a unique solution of those equations, which is analytic. It's quite a bit messy long, but it's straightforward to just go to higher orders, like four of the perturbation theory. It's no problem. So we're very happy, but then we found surprise. Namely, if we take the massive scalar field with no self-interaction, and in fact, if we take a generic potential, then we find that the derivative of the scalar field at pi over 2 is different from 0. Now this looks bizarre. Well, this doesn't say anything, but if we translate it to the original Perkinman-Graham coordinates, this will mean that if we go to the boundary, the source will be delta of x, but this part means that there will be a 1 over modulus of x source on the boundary, which is proportional to epsilon q. Which means that if we want to solve it in this way, we don't get the delta function. So this was extremely surprising for us because this shows that generically, a localized source is inconsistent with scale invariance, even though the linear solution is scale invariant. And in fact, this was the source of most other problems before, because when we try to put in the massive scalar, somehow because of at the backtracking level, it has different properties, then everything just blew up in our face.
It's the same problem with the Swiss solution, the one that you mentioned.
No, but there are lots of other things. But now I will come, I will also look at the symmetric solution here. Because here this conclusion was for a generic potential. So now let us see, suppose can we fine-tune the potential in order to get rid of this type. So now we put the self-induction potential to be an arbitrary power series, right, with m squared equal to minus 2. And now, at the order of perturbation theory, we will impose the vanishing of this condition. So that we want to create this power log A in the source. So we want to have only that like that. Then it turns out that it fixes uniquely the coefficients of the potential, and one can find such numbers. And then it turns out that these numbers are really the Taylor series of a very simple function, which is minus 6 cos pi divided by square root of 3. And then in fact, one can look back and see that this appears, exactly this potential appears in one of the Gaussian kind of reductions of square gap from 11 to 4 dimensions.
So why 11? Where does this mass level come from? No idea what.
No idea. So at least what seems to come out with is that somehow an underlying space symmetry. So if one here uses just a bottom-up model, it will just give something bizarre. One cannot expect a conformal scaling invariant the source. While only in this case, somehow the scaling invariant is preserved also with the black
picture. Presumably that's because if you allow several fields, presumably the same effect can be limited if you have several fields. Right, so you're saying there is an abstraction depending on delta functions, so, but is it then, can you prove it in general, or is it because you choose a particular ansatz?
I can prove it in general. So I don't know how to prove it. So here also I, well here, well, we get this like each of them, then we are also sure that non-perturbatively it is also true, because we also implemented numerically those equations, and we found that if we find the solution, in fact, it has really zero atom network across the direct with zero, so it's okay. But we don't have any, so we don't know how to argue in general. It will be different. As it turns on, then we would have to make.
So you may suppose to introduce delta function at a linearized level, taking into account the direct reaction.
Yes.
And then
yes, exactly. By set interactions. Yes. Yes, so that this is exactly this point which I want to make, because now it's how to interpret it. So this question is really exactly analogous to the distinction between marginal and exactly marginal operators in CFT. Right? Because if we have a CFT and we just put the formula by an integral of some operator with some lambda, so then if the dimension is equal to d, this will be a marginal operator, which means that this coupling is dimensionless, and at the linear order, it preserves scaling invariance. However, of course, at the nonlinear order in conformal perturbation theory, typically scaling invariance will be broken unless the operator is very special and it's exactly marginal. Then indeed this is also, this will define a CFT and lambda will remain dimensionless. Now basically what we are, and otherwise, if we start even with marginal operator, some mass scale will be dynamically generated, right? And we will lose conformal invariance. So basically what we saw here is an analogous situation, but now the form of the deformation is not like that which is completely uniform in space-time, but has an additional Dirac delta function. So here we start from an operator which is, has dimension d minus 1, right? So on the linearized level, it's scaling invariant. But of course, there's no guarantee if we do like perturbation theory, higher orders, that scaling invariant will not be broken. And what we found is that the bulk theory should be supersymmetric, right? So it's in a way natural, right? That since the bulk theory is supersymmetric, you make some cancellations, and there's more chance of having really an exact marginal deformation in that case than in a generic massive case. that's a way of doing that, why it's not surprising that for the specific potential we got the solution. However, it would be quite interesting to understand, and also, as in completely nothing is known about conditions for like this exact marginality that would some kind of defect on space-like structure.
So, you
have this
operator
dimension d-2. D-1. Because here we have this delta, which is just one dimensional delta, which is 1. So again, it's 1 plus d-1 equals to d, which translates to the direction.
So this is like labeling defects, right? Making the least of all possible defects in this case.
Yes. Okay. So of course, here translation and dynamics are broken, but still we can speak about scaling variance with respect to
defects that preserve conformality.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so now with that, we proceed to non-zero temperature. And now we will...
So, is this solution we need for the potential?
Yes.
So somehow...
Of course, you can add unique up to... Okay, you can multiply by the...
By something that dies away sufficiently.
Of course, you have here the parameter number. So we have one parameter family which has a amplitude of the delta function.
So yeah, I understand it, but on the gravity side, when we try to reconstruct the condition when the deformation is like the margin, and you reconstruct this Porsche potential, is the reconstruction unique?
Yes, it's unique, because I told you that the equation to the coefficient is linear. So we have just a single solution.
You also be worried about the there is such a common environment that the function source, but the fact itself is being generated.
So here,
and then in the bar,
so here, the hypothesis is that it is a dual picture, and it is metric plus the scalar field is consistent subsector. So nothing else is generated. Because if you would have some other scalar fields which would interact, you could be solved in the bank, right? Then this would be an analogous of this phenomena that there would be. I don't know what is the fit theory of the number corresponding to that one. Okay. So now we proceed to non-zero temperature. And we will deal with exactly with this specimen potential. Because much else behavior close to the number. Of course, here we have smart not difficult because at non-zero temperature we have really no linear PDEs, not ODEs like before. So we no longer have a chance to do really an analytical perturbative expansion. However, we should use some of the lessons from the T2-0 case. Namely, that somehow, in order to get something smooth, we should definitely blow up this infinitesimal neighborhood of x equal to z equal to 0. Right? Because then everything will depend on the angle of the torque to the point. So definitely we should somehow blow it up.
So is it obvious that exactly as infinitesimal should work in this case? I mean, once you go and try to do the back reaction, you're
going to
have some relative,
but there is... Well, so here, of course, temperature will break scaling balance, definitely. So this will no longer be scaling balance. But the point is that we expect that if we approach the bundler ideas, then the effect, the temperature should not be important.
So yeah, the mass reaction might not, so the level of, at the linear level, I agree, but when you include back reactions.
Yes, but like this, that, because here we are in the very big, so when we approach the bundler, we are in the ultraviolet. And if we keep temperature fixed, it's somewhere in the infrared. So if we really approach to high ultraviolet, so
I understand that argument, but if I use the kind of the gravitational hat, the temperature, so I know some things that the quasi-normal mode spectra decay and depend very strongly on the temperature of your background.
So then
yes.
I don't know. I think it's a statement between the theory being exactly marginal point and considering the particular state in this.
So this the statement that we've seen is that the behavior of the solutions close to the boundary are much nicer in this case.
Sure, okay.
Than in the other case, in fact, which we looked at earlier, which had some bizarre behavior.
So it's temperature determines with the state in the sphere, but potential determines with the sphere of the core. So you don't want to change the potential.
No, right.
So that's what he's saying. You can choose mass theory.
Now, the coordinate system that we used before is not convenient here because we want to somehow keep the horizon at some edge of some rectangular ledger. So the question is how to use it, what to do. So we decided to use the Detweck model method, which is Detweck and found by Andy Weissman and some professional solutions. So what is the idea? So basically we have this Einstein's equations with coupling to the scalar field. And we would like to solve G equal to zero. Of course it's not elliptic. So one possibility is that one could make some coordinate ansatz for the metric and then solve a subset of the equations. But it's difficult because it's not very clear how to define a good coordinate system which would fit with a grid, not a grid in some general situation. So the other method is to was included by the Detweck, which is in fact very nice, namely to keep the metric coefficients completely general without any coordinates, but modify instead the equations to solve. Namely, one solves the equation of motion in the scalar field. Then to the Einstein equations, he added this type of additional term with psi and vector b, psi b. And this psi b is given in terms of the Christoffel symbol of the metric which we want to solve, minus the Christoffel symbol of some fixed given external reference metric. And then a posterior, of course, so here the nice thing feature is that this system is a system of elliptic operations for all the metric coefficients. So it should be easy to solve numerically. Of course, the problem is that we are not solving Einstein's equation, but something else. So a posteriori, one should check that indeed psi I comes to close to zero. Now in the case of asymptotically flat spacetimes, there's a theorem that if this holds on the boundary, then it will also hold inside. So then one's guaranteed to have it. Solving that will get really solved solution of Einstein's equations. However, in the case of ATS, there's no such theorem. So we just solve it, hope for the best, and check at the end. And indeed, in all cases that people have tried, it's always solved that psi A goes to zero. So this way one can get a solution of Einstein's equations. And now, how one can interpret this condition? Because at the end of the day, we have psi I equal to zero. So this can be interpreted as some dynamically chosen implicit coordinate choice. Because this defines for us what is the condition on those metric coefficients which are a priori completely arbitrary. So from this point of view it's nice, but now from the point of view of our defect, it's not really nice. Because we would really want to have some control about our coordinate system, because we really want to focus on the neighborhood of this x equal to zero, z equal to zero in some way. So it seems that the Detweck method requires completely general answer for the space-time metric. And the stress code of coordinates is really implicit.
So it's really some differential conditions for the metric coefficient structures. So how to impose this condition that we should really focus on boundary term? And here in fact it's very simple, namely we should choose just appropriate coordinates in the reference metric. Because we are free to pick the reference metric as we want. So the reference metric we should really take just ordinary black hole with no network whatsoever, but means the coordinate systems will blow up the neighborhood of this point. So okay, so this is what we did. So as a reference metric, we just take a planar black hole in four dimensions, close to the ATS boundary, we have this linearized equation, and we will just replace x by this angle alpha, which is arctan of x over z, and we'll keep z unchanged. So this will be our coordinate system. And then the behavior of this field will be perfectly smooth. Okay, so now we just have to implement the different methods. So for the metric, we just put here all possible functions which are consistent with the symmetries. So we do not impose any change. All functions are functions alpha and z. And x is just zeta and alpha, so here we change the values. The scalar field is pi alpha z. These pieces will ensure that we have a horizon z equal to 1. And the grid is alpha runs from 0 to pi over 2 and z runs from 0 to 1. So just a straightforward rectangular. Okay, now we have to impose boundary conditions. For alpha equal to 0 is very simple, it's just reflection symmetry. For alpha equal to pi over 2, it's really infinity. So our metric should go over to the planar black hole and pi should vanish. At z equal to 1, we just fix the temperature and impose the regularity of the horizon. So again, it's straightforward. But we have a subtlety at z equal to 0. Because now we call that when z equal to 0, on this integral, the conformal bundle is only at point pi over 2. All the remaining part is really just the neighborhood of this real delta source. So somehow, we do not really know entirely what to put these boundary conditions here. So what we do, we look at the two equations, and it turns out that at z equal to 0, they are just reduced to ordinary differential equations alpha, and we can just solve them numerically in the first step, get solutions, and use these numerical solutions as boundary conditions for our grid, and then solve the PDE on the full rectangular. And this can be done, and we check that psi I is indeed 0, and one can get some coefficients here. And now here again, you see that, so here we have this angle, alpha. So all our solutions are perfectly smooth, and basically those points are the various directions in which we approach this origin where the your delta will sit. So everything seems to be possible. So this way you can generate a solution for any temperature. Okay. Now I'll just make a few comments. So we will also look at some observables like entanglement entropy in this geometry. The reason is that well, first, it's the simplest observable program and put in. And secondly, since we are not complete, we want to have also a cross-check of our numerical solutions. And using this observable one, can really have a non-trivial cross-check between the zero temperature solution that we had earlier and this one, this solution here. So I will just briefly mention those two slides on that point. So we look at entanglement entropy of a strip of center width 2L around the defect. So holographically, this is obtained by computing the area of minimal surface, which is approaching the ATS boundary at those points. So we have this defect right here, and we have just to find the minimal surface like that, computing the area. And then subtract off some divergence which is related to this interval, the divergence characteristic. The theologian how mentioned this. Okay, so first we did that for t equal to 0, and then it turns out that because of this ATS slicing ansatz, the computation of that is surprisingly nasty.
So especially to get explicit evaluate the cutoff in those coordinates. One has to pass the third one graph coordinates of the bundle, control it to some accuracy. So I will not mention it, I will just give the results. So one surprising feature which we found is that with the defect, the entanglement top is less than in the case of empty ADS space time. So it's a bit bizarre because we would expect something always to be greater. But on the other hand, there's no contradiction because with entanglement top. So it does not seem to violate any properties, but it's a bit counterintuitive. So it's so this is surprising finding for us. And we can see the difference is very small. And we can just, so cost will be a Coulombic, and we can fit the coefficient to some higher cross. In fact, this coefficient will be important for us for the cross check, which I will mention on the next slide. Because we also need that for the temperature greater than zero case. And then one can see that the entanglement entropy of
this
data
potential attractive or revolting. What's the sign?
Well, this potential is cosh. It's definitely, well, it bounds from below. So it doesn't like, run away. So it's. So basically, because so now we use this feature of conformal scaling. So the only scale will be set by the temperature. So in this case, the entanglement topic has to be 1 over L times some function of L times T. So we can find those expressions, which are not so important. But now we see that we can probe 0 here in two ways. Either we can keep T non-zero and take L going to 0, staying with this geometry. Or we can just put T equal to 0 and we will get from the other. So now, if we just multiply it by L, we get this plot. It goes over to something below 0. In fact, it goes over to exactly this number which we can define. So for us, it was an important cross-check that our analysis was completely under control in both cases. So it's it most like not that cross-check of the numerics, but some kind of physics which we are related to. Okay, so the final. After that, we discuss some look in progress, but in progress on implementing the periodic lattice. So here we just look at single graph data. Okay. Now we can look at like a lattice for the functions. So that we look at that. So for the moment we use a regularized periodic source. Here, which is something like that, which just approximates when epsilon goes to 0, we approximate the delta functions. Again, we have here huge gradients, so we need to adapt an appropriate numerical grid. And once we do it, we should really put in the exact graph delta sources. So there should not be really clear any conceptual problem compared to our earlier work, but we did not do it yet. So, In this case, the linear solution can also be found analytically, and it looks like that. So here we see the profile, so here's the bundle, here's the horizon. This is at zero temperature, basically. So again, we see that we should have somehow blow up the neighborhood of checkpoint points. Now the only subtlety is that we have to maintain periodicity. So we have to have some generalization of alpha coordinate, but it is nevertheless periodic in some way. But this can be found, so we did that, and we have our grid, basically when we go back to original coordinates, looks like that, so we see that it's much more dense, close to the origin, and becomes much more even when we go away. And basically we constructed the background with non-zero temperature and non-zero chemical potential here, but then there are lots of things to do, namely to do it for exact your delta functions and to compute the conductivity and see how it changes the conclusions of probability samples and so on. So this is something to be done. Okay, so finally just one open question. what happens to the pure massive case without such interactions? So if we are not in the case of this supersymmetric potential, of the Koch potential, then in fact it's not very clear what whether this delta to Dirac delta really so exists. We find some evidence of some logarithmic behavior across the bundle, but somehow it messes up everything, so we couldn't find any consistent scaling in the equations. So we could take a limit. So we can like use a regularized Dirac delta and compare the solutions when we make it steeper and steeper. But somehow looking from that, we cannot really see any kind of nice limit or what kind of scaling to do to obtain a nice continuum. So for the moment, first, a bit open question whether something like that exists, or one should really modify the asymptotics in some very significant way to understand. So well, it's a really open problem to really understand this situation for us. So this scaling grand one is much, much, much easier than this one. In fact, this caused for us all of those problems in the beginning when we tried to put exactly this situation in finite temperature and try to pick the limit. Okay, so now I come to conclusions. So we here develop techniques for constructing numerically gravitational solutions with Dirac delta on top of the bundle. So basically, one is to use some adapted coordinate systems, which can be used in the field mode using some reference metric which appropriate coordinate system. Then, what was surprising for us that scaling down the effect exists only for a theory where the self-self interaction is given by this formula, which corresponds to some supersymmetric supergravity reduction, which means it's some generic notions of defect exact marginality. And then we use this different method, which is adaptive tracing reference method, to construct solutions of non-zero temperature, computed some kind of problem. And since we can look at the futures to start the lattice, and the non-conformal case remains very mysterious for us. So what really happens with sub-bundle conditions if a scale generates dynamically? So the fact that the log of PA seems to be quite natural because somehow a scale should not be present in the reactor, that should be something dynamically generated. So a log is natural. But somehow, assuming a log behaving as a function, we couldn't really fix all the asymptotics in a consistent way. So it's not in question what seems to be. It is only very big. So how much?
This conformal case will not be able to generalize the two completely localized source of the dimension of the one.
So in fact it seems one possibility, so at least if one looks at the linear level, then what happens is that if the dimension is different, then there's an additional overall power of z. So there's z, some fixed power, times some scaling function. So for example, for the Gauge field, we also look at the Gauge field on the linear level, if one different sources the chemical potential on such a delta function, it seems that it's like z times something which is not a function of alpha. So then it's considerable that one could persist on the vector level to be again some fixed overall function, fixed overall factor of z, some power, times function of the angles. But it's not
that would mean that being the scale. That
would mean that you do not break scale. So I would think that it's like the no anomaly dimension is generate a lemon one. If one if the dimension would just have a fixed shape. Different dimension? I'm not sure.
I just should sure. It isn't it like a, just a defect? Is it like a line? Would it like a line effect in the 3D item model, for example, right? And
you
could have the one dimensional.
Could pick it up
in space, not in fact. So the 3D inversion, would be like 3D item model, would it change it? I think it's a lot of people do in the lab, they see that there are some formal defects. Non-operator outside, and you study its conformal invariant correlation function with operator complex effect, and so on.
Which analysis you want to talk in this data function?
Yeah, perhaps there is not an operatorial definition where it is really a delta function times something. You have to think, morally speaking, that it's not it. But the net effect is the same.
What would you do with the likely analysis?
So your solution is that you can take study the limit toward the delta, and if you're not very much at the delta, can you extract the essential properties of the solution with a kind of not as big distribution? I can in hindsight, could you have gotten quite a bit of traction without having had to go all the way to the delta? Or is it absolutely crucial that you progress in the delta consistently?
I think it's about it's important. So,
okay.
Also, the, like in this case of so, but here, like the point of this lattice. Betas. Then we see when we have that the distortion will go away. We may go to the pattern. So somehow it's just a simple fraction. So especially in the case of the reduction will be important. However, it may very much depend on the so we didn't really look yet at this conductivity, for example, and then as a potential for the point, just use something like that for the situation, for the situation, would it be enough or when we really need to use this quality?
I guess if one is looking at sufficiently large wavelengths, then it should not be too much to work on. On the other hand, like, in a way, like, my original motivation was that I said, well, so the deltas are extremely kind of idealized versions. So perhaps one could control the delta much nicer than a sign. So in this sense, I hope that perhaps one can see something more analytical, like some regime that would be more controllable. But now after doing all this, it seems that it's not simple. It's also complicated. So originally I said that perhaps because it's like this model, the simplest possible model which you can imagine is just putting
localize vector function potentials like Schrödinger equations. So to perhaps here one put that into gravity, but also one can see something simpler. But perhaps this last one, we didn't really look too much in correlation functions here in conductivity there. So perhaps there still may be some versions which might understand better than some of this.
Okay, let's thank Global again.